This is a little look at the agenda of the things I'm going to talk to you about today and show you some various different topics. We're going to be looking a bit about the project, what value it's delivered, the actual EPM project, the enterprise project management project that Kongsberg Maritime have done. We're also going to be looking at the changes in business systems, looking more closely at Project Server, what we've done with that, what we've done with Microsoft Project, how the end users have been affected and what things they've been doing, as well as the flow of data, and then we'll be looking at a demo. But before we do that, I need to warn you about a few things. One of them is that I'm likely to fall down these stairs before the end of the presentation, or worse, up. The other one is I'm known for a very bad sense of humor, so if any long pauses follow, it's probably because I thought I've said something funny, but it probably wasn't. The other thing is I now need 3 volunteers before we get started, because end-to-end integration of Project Server with a financial system isn't quite as simple to understand if you're using an integration platform. Can I borrow someone who knows something about, well, I know you know something about Project. Can you stand here, please? Leandro. Okay, does anyone here work with perhaps integration or with BizTalk or anything like that today? Yeah, come in. Okay. Anyone here working in finance or financial systems, whether it's SAP, whether it's Dynamics AX? I need another volunteer, not victim. Okay, come in. Right, okay. Now, this is how this is going to work. What we're going to do, you've even got a pen ready.
I'm standing. Do I need it?
You're going to need it.
Oh,
right.
My.
Okay. What you're going to do, I need to move away from the speakers here. I'd like you to take this post-it, I'd like you to write a number on it, and call it your project. So just write a number on it.
110?
I can't count beyond that, so that's fine with me.
Right.
Okay, now what we're gonna do is we're gonna create, I need to put BizTalk, sorry, can I move you over here?
Yep.
I need to put Project Server over here. Your Project Server today, remember that, okay? Good, right. The financial system is gonna create a project in Project Server, but it's not gonna be the financial system that's gonna create the project. It's going to be some code, but we're also going to send a message through BizTalk. Okay, so you'll post it. Is that ready?
Yes, it is.
Okay, right. I'll take that message. We're now going to send the message. Okay, this is the message of the project going from the financial system. I can't see a thing at the moment because of the projector. BizTalk? Good?
I'm alive.
Okay, here's a message. Can you do me a favor? Can you give that to Project Server?
I'm BizTalk.
You're BizTalk.
No,
wait. Stop. Okay, before we give a message to Project Server, we need to validate that data.
Okay.
We need to make sure, or perhaps Project Server needs to make sure.
Do you have this project already?
Aha, you're good. Do you want to take over? Okay. Okay, right, you need to make sure, does this project already exist? Is the data valid? Does it meet the business rules? Does it have, it's going to be a lot more than just a project number. It's going to be a name, it's going to be a date. What else is one key attribute that goes with every project?
Oh, no.
Thank you, good. I hadn't even prepped that, so that's good. Project owner or the project manager of every project is important to have defined. And if you send me a project manager with that data, or sorry, if the financial system, you're just the messenger, I'm not gonna shoot
yeah.
you. If you're gonna send that message over to Project Server with an invalid project manager, how is Leandro gonna make a project? He can't find the project manager. So if you were to send that message over and it's not good enough, you'd have to send it back to you. And can you try again, please? Or we need to fix the data that's in Project Server to make sure that we can create the project. So let's assume the data's okay. You make the project. Pretend to make a project. It's his birthday, he's been partying. Now, if the project manager is sitting then in perhaps in Microsoft Project planning this project that's been made, adding some tasks, adjusting some dates, assigning resources. The next thing that the financial system is going to need to know is perhaps what tasks or milestones or dates or things are we going to be doing. You're now ready to publish this project. Okay, can you publish that to BizTalk for me? Now, what we're going to do next is you're going to give that message to the financial system. So the financial system can update its tables for things like forecast and information on what we're going to do. Yeah. Okay, good. Are you sure you don't want to take over? This is good. Right, okay, so what we've done now is we have created the project, sent it over to project server, validated it, added some tasks, some resources, some information, sent it back to the financial system. So you're now ready, in this example, to capture the work that's being done. So if, Paul, can you fill in a timesheet for me? Pretend. He's very modern, he's doing it on a tablet. Send it electronically. Okay, right, you've now got your, away from the speaker thing. You've now got your transaction data. We need to approve them. Hussein, can you just approve the data for me? Does it look all right? Thank you. Right, okay, I'd like you to send the approved data back to BizTalk. Okay, right, so we've now got some hours. Paul did some work, Hussein approved it, it probably says that on there somewhere. I'd like you now to send that over to Project Server. Good. I wanted to.
I remember the number.
Good. So Leandro has now got assignment data, actual work, if you even use Microsoft Project Talk, that he can update his project plan. That data can then go into the project plan, safely stored, ready for a future use. Okay? What I've done there is using humans, shown us how the integration that we've implemented with Kongsberg Maritime works. So if you can remember that, it might help understand a little bit about the path we've gone through and the implementation we've put in.
Sorry for being lost. So when you said he did time entry, he did that in?
Yeah. Okay, this is perhaps something that not everybody would do timesheeting or task progressing in Project Server. I'm going to explain a little bit more about that later, but yes, that was a good question. Timesheeting isn't necessarily done with all integrations in Project Server, especially, it's a bit of a spoiler here, but if not everyone uses Project Server. If there are other projects that just go between the financial system and the end users, perhaps in manufacturing or logistics, nothing to do with project management, but those that need project management need to still see those hours. So if Paul was working in a manufacturing department and on a project, he'd still register his hours in the same place. But those that relate to a synchronized project would be updated in Project Server. So it's probably about slide 15 of today's presentation, but hopefully if that answered a little bit. I'm very happy to take short questions as we go through the presentation and the demo today, but if there's any sort of major, how do you do that? Then if we save those towards the end, then we can get through the main content a bit quicker. Okay? Right. I'd like to now thank our volunteers. You're welcome to sit back down again if you can find your seats. Thank you. Right. Now, let's get started. This presentation is about the integration between Dynamics AX. Some people, if they've used Dynamics AX for a long time, will know that it's called, it used to be called Exaptor. I know that some people here have had experience with that before. And Kongsberg Maritime is a products and services company that work in the merchant maritime sector, providing control systems, navigation, simulation for all sorts of different things like vessels, boats, gas ships, as well as offshore and subsea equipment. They're based in a country called Norway, which is not the capital of Sweden. Norway is famous for a few things. Philosophy. They've been asking for many years, what does the fox say? They've had recent publicity in Norway, in the US, with series like Lillehammer. Those of you have seen that. And they were actually the original. Are there any good Excel users here? Do Excel reporting? Yeah. Any of those familiar with slices? You think that was invented by Excel? The slicer was actually invented by the Norwegians. First implemented over 1,000 years ago for the slicing of cheese. Today I have a small gift for the person that can answer a question at the end of the presentation. It's a kind of lock-in. The doors are actually locked, so you can't get out. But if you want to answer the question at the end of the presentation, you can win a cheese slicer, for those of you that don't already have one. I work for a consultancy called Intersoft, or Intersoft Management Systems. We are, like many of the other partners that are presenting and talking here at the conference, a specialist in project and portfolio management. And myself, I've been working with Microsoft Project since about 1996-ish. And have I can do a lot more with Project than I can in Norwegian. So I'm pretty fluent in Norwegian and yeah, fairly okay with Project. So moving on, enough about me. The very first slide I want to look at about the solution or the platform that we've done was, what did Kongsberg Maritime want to do? What was their vision? Well, what they needed to do was create enable global resource management, enable them to monitor and manage their resources, and get control of multiple projects. They had a platform and integration, which actually complicates things a little here. They had an integration between Project 2002 and Dynamics AX, and that was starting to reach its geographical limits. The company now has over 4,500 employees in about 25 different countries. And using a solution that, for those of you who are in technology, understand database connections, ODBC, cannot scale and cannot be made securely available on a global basis. So there was a time and need for change. The EPM project was established to help enable that change so the organization could have not just the global resource management, but the right tools to do that job. The background behind that, as I've mentioned, is fueled by that growth and the global reach. Project managers couldn't just wait until they came back to Norway to plan and update their projects. They needed to do it from anywhere in the world. The integration between Dynamics AX and Project 2002 had reached its both end of Microsoft support as well as internal support from the guys that look after Dynamics AX. And the need for aggregation of data. Data that was working very well as individual projects in 2002 could not very easily be pulled together to do things like simple reporting across departments or projects or disciplines. How do we go about establishing the project or getting the project moving? Well, the very first thing was to establish what they really wanted to do, because just to say, I want global resource management, fix it, isn't really enough to actually define a project. It's a very high-level strategic objective or goal, but it doesn't actually say how you want to do it or what you're actually going to do. So first of all, we had to then go through and gather all of the requirements and prioritize those requirements, and then from those prioritized requirements, actually identify what KM, Kongsberg Maritime, needed. And then we had to add into that how they wanted to go about doing it. Kongsberg Maritime wanted the global resource management using off-the-shelf software and integrate it as well. Any form of integration between different business applications always requires some degree of integration, messaging, language, validation of data. You saw when we were sending the messages across that in our little example earlier that there's a lot of checks and things that have to be done, especially if it's going to be automated. Going to look a little bit at business value first before we actually go down into the solution and the data flow. This is some actual real pictures from a little book that the EPM project had made at the end of the project showing some of the workshops that were going on. Workshops that were done to gather and prioritize the requirements, workshops that were done to execute test cases. A very tight-knit team, wide arena of experience. The overall effect that that has had, not just the project itself, but the net results of the solution that's been delivered, has been to enable visibility of data. It's always been something that Microsoft have said right the way back from early releases of Project Central in 2002, that visibility, insight, and control. But here it's been really, really enabled. There's a quote from Ivar, who is the PMO manager for Kongsberg Maritime in the particular department that owns the platform or owns the integration. One of the things he said is the reporting. It's always been possible to make reports, but reports that people actually believe in, the information that's real, that's actually usable to make strategic decisions. It's not every day that a real project schedule gets escalated up to effectively board level of an organization to help make a decision as to what that organization is going to do going forwards. Ed Thronvold, on the right, is the application owner. Also, she works also in the PMO. And one of the things she has identified as being one of the major changes that's happened in moving from 2002 to the integrated solution today is the pride in the data. Project managers are actually quite keen to improve the things that are in their project plan because they know that if Leandro plans his project, a manager would actually look at it and see that information. So he can't really kind of put bad data or yeah, that's good enough. He's actually developing a culture of pride in the information that people are both planning and reporting that in terms of their progress. Then we move on to the EPM project itself. Now, the EPM project was really just the team that got together and the requirements to enable the creation of the platform. But the EPM project itself involved a much wider part of the organization. So you've got your team making the platform or the solution and the integration and specifying it, developing it, testing it, and dealing with the requirements. But it's the rest of the organization that's going to have to live with this, the platform, the integration. And they've been very heavily involved. We had an original goal of full integration, global resource management. And after the first round of requirements and an initial pilot went through, it was discovered that actually we need to kind of look at this a little bit more closely because our original strategic goals were perhaps a little bit too, I won't say optimistic, but not very realistic to try and integrate 20 different applications to project. So just focus on the simple things. So then the revised goal was created to say, okay, we still want global resource management, but just replace the system. Just replace Project 2002. But what actually happened was, by focusing on that, it was a catalyst for other change in other departments, particularly because of master data and the data quality, which we'll come on to. So now we've enabled global resource management. We have migrated a considerable amount of data. I'll come on to that shortly. And we've replaced the existing platform, existing solution. The solution is now live, running, been running since April the 8th. In the early days of the project, one of the very first things we did was to, and this was what helped KM to redefine the goals or establish how they were going to do things, was to look creating a project. Just the simple process we did with those yellow post-it notes at the start to make an integrated pilot or a proof of concept to show the creation of that through BizTalk, creating and sending the messages. One of the very early things we found early on in the process was that Dynamics AX likes to talk. It sends out messages every time you change one field to another. It doesn't kind of batch up the changes and you press save. It sort of speaks the whole time and it's sending lots and lots of messages. So BizTalk had to act a bit like a sort of press officer for Project Server, because Project Server, you can imagine sending 20 post-its a second to Project Server every time you change the date of the something or the header data of the project. So BizTalk actually collates the data and decides after a few minutes, am I going to send this over to Project Server? Okay, there's no changes, so I don't need to send anything. So it acts as a kind of agent. The master data was one of the very early things we found. We're going to look at the business systems environment shortly. If you've got two Ian Whites in your organization, you can't have that in Project Server. You need to differentiate. I mean, I'll help you if you have got two Ian Whites in your organization. You would be a great benefit. You need to identify unique resource names. Project Server uses the resource name as the unique identifier. So what Kongsberg Maritime have done is to make a combination of your name with your employee ID. So when you look at resources in a resource pool, you'll find David Hands 87779, and that makes me unique because the ID of the resource, the employee number, staff number, is unique. So it allows us to have two Ian Whites identifying each one by ID. Once this information has then been improved, or the quality of the data improved, one of the things that was created was an enterprise cache, or a data warehouse of all the information relating to projects, relating to resources, and other key pieces of metadata. The metadata in this case is things like the list of companies that exist, the financial companies that exist underneath the umbrella of Kongsberg Maritime, the countries that people work in or operate in. That's the master data, the projects, and the resources. That's all stored centrally. So that data is harvested from the source systems, whether it's the Dynamics AX or the HR system, and stored centrally. How do we break up the project? It wasn't quite clearly as clearly broken up as is shown on this little diagram here, but we started off with the initial requirements and the prioritization. We made a pilot, and then some more requirements came out, almost like the real requirements came out once people actually started to see what was really going to be happening. And then we moved into a testing phase and then the migration. I'm going to cover the migration specifically because it's a really key topic of the project. And then we've got the development and then the redevelopment. And I wanted to put in a sort of, yeah, some more development, but what I really mean is the improving and fixing. So you could almost say that at this point of the project, we had a working solution, a working platform. But as more and more different use cases were tested, and some use cases were created because someone hadn't thought that what happens if they plan a project from Iceland on a Thursday morning when there's a storm blowing, that use case of a very unique situation, probably wasn't one of the situations, would need to be catered for. And sometimes we had to add more things to the code or more validation or more checks so that we could get through to go live. And I think if I can quote, Liz is sitting at the front here. Liz is actually the administrator of the project server, sitting at the front there. Can you wave? She has a job of actually keeping an eye on monitoring the queues and all the data that goes through the system. And the platform that was went live on the 8th of April last year has only had one service pack or patch applied to it since go live. So as a testament to the testing that's been done, and the quality of the work that all of the business and the development teams have put in, we've actually had a very stable platform in that entire time. It's now 10 months since go live. I like to think of the KMEPM project as the project that changed the IT world. It's a project that made so many other changes or consequences within the IT organization at KM. It's been a catalyst for change. So it's not just the project itself. The data quality, the data management, the awareness of how important it was to put data in the right systems in the right way. Just typing I White instead of Ian White would cause a conflict. You need to put your names in consistently in different systems. The automation of some of those processes has been established. The development of IT solutions within KM, within the IT department, has moved to an agile approach. They've adopted Team Foundation Server for managing all of the code base, all of the work items, the use cases, the issues, the bugs, the tracking of tasks. Before we had TFS, many things were a bit of chaos with an email here and a message here and a phone call there. There wasn't really any way of tracking what was going on. Were things fixed or not? Once we started to implement TFS, there was a huge lift in the quality and of the results of the testing. So, and overall, it's been a learning experience for the IT department. I'm going to try and move some of these slides a bit quicker now so we can go through to the actual demo as well, which is what I want to show you. The environment before the KMEPM project and the other things that changed was a bit of a mixture of separate systems all installed in the same location. Lots of systems that had some integration and lots of other systems that had nothing to do with the others at all, freestanding applications. There's multiple sources of the input information, whether that's projects, employees, and also different levels of competency and experience in actually supporting these systems. SharePoint 2010 had recently been implemented as an infrastructure platform for the intranet, and we were putting our platform, our project server, on top of that. So there was a lot of new systems as well coming into the picture. This is how we sort of saw things before. We had the timesheet system, which is a module associated with Dynamics AX. We had MS Project synchronously linked, 2002, linked to Dynamics AX. We had some information that was kind of occasionally collected out of the HR system, and then there was kind of Active Directory and Lotus Notes over there. What's it like today? Well, almost harmony. Almost things working fully in sync. There's still a way to go, but there's been a huge, huge change and improvement that now means we have a stable environment to work with, both in terms of the data flow, the data quality. And the one new application that's in this picture, which is trying to show a little bit more stability, is the enterprise cache made up of BizTalk, some SSIS and SQL Server packages and databases that store the data that's used by other systems. It's probably also important to know that another reason for moving to a cache rather than direct integration with the financial system is that other systems also use that data. If you are, does anyone here work with logistics systems or handling or heard of it? If you're going to be collecting information about an order for a product and you're going to walk around with one of these scanners to go to perhaps the warehouse to collect that item, that's the same kind of data that might be related to what's stored in the data warehouse in the enterprise cache. So it's not just Project Server that uses this information. Anyway, moving on to Project Server and Microsoft Project. Quick question. Can you put your hand up? Was that difficult? Okay, can you put your hand down if you're using 2010 or 13? Okay, so if you've still got your hand up, are you using Microsoft Project or Project Server? Okay. All right, just important because I'm going to be talking about some of the things in Project Server that if you've not seen them before, I will try and word them in a way that makes it explained, but it may require some implicit knowledge. Project Server wasn't just it was a logical choice for the organization because of the existing infrastructure, SharePoint 2010, Project Server 2010 being an application that sits on top of it. It's also being a move from their Project 2002 data to 2010 data. It's the centralized store of projects with security, reports, and resource management around that data. And it fitted nicely into their overall architecture or roadmap for products and the platform. But one of the things we had to do, if you remember back to our little post-it example at the start, when we receive data to Project Server, we have to check it. We have to validate it. So in order to do that, we've added web services which perform data validation for both incoming data as well as outgoing data. For those of you that use Project Server today, well, it doesn't matter what version it is, when you save your project, when you publish your project, you're likely to get messages on the screen that say you can't do this or it already exists or some kind of piece of information. If the integration is automated, there's no user to sort of go, perhaps I'll just give it another name, or perhaps I've done something wrong. In order to automate a process, you have to have, a robot project manager processing all these changes for you, doing things in the right order, following the business rules and the logic. Without that, the quality of data that's incoming could cause all sorts of problems in your Project Server. So the extensions we've made to Project Server talk to the PSI, the Project Server interface, and they do that to ensure data quality, to help the project manager. One of the most important areas we've done that is within Microsoft Project. Was anyone here looking at Tim Runcie's integration with TFS yesterday? Anyone see that session yesterday? Okay, yeah, I know you were sitting next to me. TFS uses an add-on for Microsoft Project. Those of you that use Excel for advanced reporting have probably seen add-ons for Microsoft Excel. We've built an add-on for Microsoft Project, which acts as a kind of assistant. Some would say it's a bit more of a police control, but we like to think of it as an assistant for the project planning. What it does is it checks and makes sure the data is okay before you publish that data to the financial system. So if you can imagine, you've added 25 tasks to your project, but not filled in all the right data. For example, every task has to have a code, a WBS, a work breakdown structure value. And in order to make sure every task has a unique value, the add-in checks your project. But if you imagine you're about to run for an aeroplane after the project conference, and you quickly update your project plan with those tasks you've thought about, and you haven't got all the data because you've not found the guy in finance to give you the right codes for those tasks, the add-in still lets you save your changes. It just stops you from publishing. So we have a philosophy that the project manager should always have the rights to save their work and not lose anything, but not publish that data. Now, business change. What basically I mean here is when you implement an integration, you're dealing with mostly the IT platform. But who's affected by this IT platform? Well, it's the business or the end users. So this is the end user change. The first point here is, who's going to use the integration? With KM, there is a choice. If you are planning projects which are require a detailed schedule and resources and assignments and that kind of thing, you can use the project server. You choose to send your project and synchronize it with project server. But if you're just doing, for example, as I mentioned earlier, packaging or testing or some manufacturing, you just need a project number with an activity on it and just to register your hours and you're finished. There's no dates, there's no schedule. In that case, you can decide whether or not you wish to plan your project in project server. There's an option. One of the changes that occurred between 2002 and the new integration was the move from totals of work and actual work and remaining work to time-phased data. Does anybody here not know what time-phased data is? Okay. Spreading out of the time work over each individual day, and that's something we've moved to. We've also moved to an asynchronous solution. And by that I mean the 2002 Microsoft project was directly hardwired into Dynamics AX. With the use of BizTalk as a middleman or as a messenger, you don't have that direct connection. So if you're changing the user expectation that when I press play, it comes out the other end immediately, that doesn't happen anymore. You've changed the way that the systems communicate together, and it's important to adjust the user's expectations of how it's implemented. Finally, look at PMO monitoring. It used to be just the case that the project manager, if they wanted to, plan their project in 2002 and they were finished, and that was it. They didn't have to do anything else. But now the game has been lifted. It's a higher quality of work, the need for better quality of data, that pride in those project plans. People have to do the job properly now. They can't just get away with making any old toy plan. They have to do a real, serious, executed plan. And to keep an eye on that, I've got it here as the PMO monitoring. It's also the IT business systems. Keep an eye on things like the project server queue. But not everything is in the project server queue. If the validation, for example, says, sorry, I can't take that project in, it's not good enough. That's stored outside of the queue. That never got to the queue. So we have our own log. We made an EPM log, a very creative name. That has over 2.7 million transactions in it from last year alone. A huge amount of data, but it records everything that has ever happened, whether it went through successfully or not, down to the details of, for example, which task failed or which task didn't have the right information. So logging extra information that would never get into a queue, project server, or never get into ULS logs. The reason it's not just in the ULS logs alone, though, is that for those of you who've thought about online and things like that, the ULS logs are not accessible to the end user. The EPM log has a web interface to allow us to see it, and we'll see that in the demo in a moment. Now, the flow of information. Now, this is a bit more detailed than the post-its we looked at earlier. Here are the systems. We've got timesheets. We've got Dynamics AX. We've got the human resource system. The HR system is the one which contains all of the employees. AX contains all of the projects and all the details around that, but it also contains generic resources. Anybody not familiar with generic resources in Project Server? A role-based resource. So you could have, for example, a tester or a testing team, something like that, something that's not a named person. Dynamics AX supports this concept of something they call work centers. So you assign a task to a work center, and the work center picks it up and does it. We use generic resources in Project Server for that. So the master data that comes across for resources comes from both AX and the human resources system. We've then got the data warehouse in the middle, and then we've got Project Server and MS Project. There's obviously more things than just that. There's Active Directory, there's SharePoint, there's the infrastructure, there's the network. But these are the things in terms of data flow. We receive the metadata, that master data for the overall structure of the solution. We let Dynamics AX know which templates we're going to use. Receive the resources, we receive the projects, we send the tasks, milestones, and assignments back again, and then we send the hours back again. That's the last one that gets added onto there. Okay, what we're going to do in a moment is look at that in more detail in the demo. So I'm going to show you the same process. Okay, just go back to that one there. That same process is what we're going to see in the demo. So I'm actually going to show you, as long as the internet doesn't decide to go on holiday. Yesterday, some people had some issues with demos, so we'll do our best. I have some screenshots as a backup, but I'm hoping to show you the real thing. Right, metadata. Metadata includes things like the companies, countries, departments, and even for Project Server, for those of you familiar, we update the RBS based on where the employee fits within the hierarchy of the organization. That is an 18-level lookup table, for those of you familiar with lookup tables in Project Server. Templates. A list of templates is sent every time we make any changes or updates to the list of templates, and resources, both employees and work sent or generic resources sent over. I spent quite a few meetings trying to explain how this thing works to end users, to the testers. Projects is one of the key pieces of information that flows over from the data warehouse into Project Server. We receive updates, for example, when a project is moved from in progress to completed. We receive information like that as well. And if we change the project manager from one person to another, we receive project metadata. For those of you familiar with Project Server, think of the project information, the custom fields, the top level task zero data. That's all owned by Dynamics AX. So updates come that way. If you change the project manager or project owner in AX, it will change the owner in Project Server. Keeping an eye on things, in addition to the Project Server queue and the EPM log that I've mentioned, we also have an administration toolbox for, can you guess, the administrator, to be able to go in and request manual updates. So for example, if we haven't received the update to a project or a resource, we can go in and manually request that information. We have a configuration list so that, for example, if we were to change BizTalk servers or names were to change or database servers were to change, we can modify that. The administrator can modify that. We also have a product which is used on top of BizTalk to monitor BizTalk called MTM, Message Tracking Monitoring. That keeps an eye on those messages that are going through because asynchronous systems are responsible for their own message or data. So we'll see that in the first few of those in the demo. So getting ready to go live. It was a big weekend around Easter last year, beginning of April. All the systems ready. We had lots of checklists. Like checklists, is everything ready? Have we forgotten anything? We're going to get ready to go live. Load up the initial resources. There are 4,000, I think at the end of December, there was 4,500 people working for Kongsberg Maritime globally. But if we're migrating data, which is on the next slide, we also have to include all of the people that used to work for Kongsberg Maritime, because otherwise their actual work from the migrated plan would end up as a local resource. So we have to create all of the people that used to work for Kongsberg Maritime. And that in itself is a big job for people that have left the organization, for example. There are over 10,000 resources in the resource pool. 5,500 are inactive and 4,500 active. And that also includes a total of around 150 work centers, generic resources as well. Then we have to shut down the interface to 2002. One of the key requirements to the project was we'd like a phased and gradual approach. That's not possible if you've got a live system which is going to use the same interface to move from 2002 to 2010. So the acceptor interface was shut down. Then we transferred templates, and then we created the first project. And that was when data migration could start. If you're creating a new solution, now you just mentioned you're evaluating or looking at Project Server or Project Online, you probably won't have much data to migrate. But if you're migrating from one existing live solution with 300 project managers using it around the world, they're going to have a lot of data, and they're going to still need that data on Monday morning when they come back to the office. So the project managers and the migration team were responsible for making sure their projects were ready. After we'd identified the needs, we went through testing, a lot of data cleaning, improving those project files, these MPP files for 2002, and then we got into the data migration itself. Now, we've learned quite a lot from data migration. Is there anyone here who has used, or let's just say used actively, older versions of project, like 2002 and 3 in the past? Some of the things, like the scheduling engine, changed between 2003 and 2007. So when a project manager opens their plan in another version of project, the dates are different. And you have to find out why. And how many projects were we going to migrate? The total projects to be migrated was identified at 1,100 files. to be migrated into Project Server. There's a picture of the Froda, the project manager there, counting down the numbers of projects, showing those that we had migrated within the first week. I think it was about the end of week one. 627 projects had been migrated. I think it was around 54% of the projects, but only 31% had been published. In order for a project to complete its migration, it has to be published as well. Updating the projects, looking at the file formats, projects had to be opened in 2002, 3, 7, and then 10 in order to make the formats work. You couldn't just, it was possible to do it with most projects direct from 2002 to 10, but some of them crashed. So in order to remove the possibility of any crashes, we set up macros and reports to do it. And the key point here at the end is never to be underestimated. Do not assume data migration will go smoothly. The reason why we didn't just take a database migration was that the old solution was in a custom SQL database, and we were not taking all of the data over. So we needed to make sure that the data came out of project and back into project server through a controlled method, checking the data quality. Now, hopefully this will be the good part of the presentation where we can look at a real online demo of the solution. What we're going to be doing, can you remember what happens next? We're going to send some metadata, or we're going to look at the metadata that's received. We're going to look at the templates. We're going to look at the resources. We're going to look at the projects. We're going to look at the tasks, milestones, and assignments. And then we're going to receive some of the approved hours. I'm going to show you that. We're going to use one of the testing environments, because I'm not going to start messing around with live production data. And I'm now going to try and see if I can do that. So, yes, sure. Yeah. Okay. Okay, I'm going to just repeat the question for the purpose of the recording of this session. The question was, what sort of size of the projects? Were they active projects that were in the migration? Well, we had 1,100 projects. Some of the projects contained over 50,000 man-hours of work, spread over between 4 and 7 years. And because of the way of the reporting and the synchronization back to that same project, back in Dynamics AX, we could not draw a line in the sand, as you mentioned. We had to take the entire file over and ensure that all of those resources back from if the project started in 2006, for example, that they were available. Some projects that were finishing, the line was drawn then saying, do we need to migrate this one or not? So there was very close analysis on the initial 2,000 projects, I think it was. Do we need to take all of them? And that number was brought down as low as possible in order to migrate only what we really had to. And I think of the 1,100 we migrated, I think there's only about 75 of those projects that haven't been touched since migration. So if you think about it, all of those projects have at some point since last April been used. So it's always impossible to get an exact, we're going to use this project or not, but that was what it. Does that answer the question? Seconds. I had some problems with the PC here. Here we go. Okay, right. Look at the metadata first, which is this one. Right. Okay, what we're going to look at first of all is project server custom fields. What we're looking at here is custom fields that are used by the solution for controlling both resource, project, and task level data. For those of you that use Project Server today, this is all standard functionality. What we have, though, is the updating of the lookup tables, which are, for those of you who know, right at the end of this page, where we update or change values that are stored. When we receive an update, for example, if a country changes its name because it's had a constitutional change or something more serious than that, that lookup table for countries would be updated. But the most frequent update is the one that relates to things like the department or the AX department lookup. Now, the reason we have two different lookup tables for departments is that the HR system has its own departments, and the project system has its own department. So when you send a project that belongs to the IT department, it's not the same department as the person working in IT. Sounds confusing, but that's multiple systems of master data. So this particular lookup table here contains around 3,000 values, I think in total, if I'm correct, which get updated every time there is a change. So the lookup tables are normally sent by batch during the night, so they don't affect the majority of the users in the system. So if you can think of the countries, the companies, the two departments, and the RBS, they are the five fields which we automatically synchronize. Some of them come from AX, from Dynamics. Some of them come from the HR system. There's not much more I can show you on that because I don't have access to the master data system to be able to push some changes across. But that's where that's how they end up being updated. Very slow response on the VPN here. If we look at Microsoft Project and take a file and new, what we're going to do now is I'm going to make a new template. I'm going to take the blank project template, I'm going to add a task to it, and then save that as a new template. So for those of you that use Project Server, again, this is one of the fundamental principles. We use Project Server as standard as possible. All of the normal methods of using Project Server for tracking and updating projects, we try and do that as much as possible. So if I add a new task here into this project, okay, you'll notice here that I don't have a project ID yet. Now, a template will never have a project number or a project identification number because it hasn't been assigned to a project yet. But if I was using a real project, this number would automatically be filled in. But what I do need to fill in is what work breakdown structure or task code is going to be used for this. So I'm going to use 10,010. I'm then going to save that as a template. All standard stuff so far. And then I may decide that one of these fields has to be for a specific company. This is one of the lookup tables that's automatically updated. Save that as a template. And now what I'm going to do, if I'm quick, I'm going to go to the EPM log. This is our own log that we use to keep an eye of all the transactions. If I take just a reset on that, I should see some templates being sent to BizTalk. Now, the log only handles the information as far as being sent to BizTalk or received from BizTalk. So I don't know if they've got to AX. I'd have to go to BizTalk to check that. This demo template has been saved, and you should see a message in there that says it's actually a template. And what we should see in a moment when we go over to Dynamics AX, I'm going to give it a couple of seconds just so the list of templates gets the chance to be sent over. I'm going to choose a new project. I'm going to make, in Dynamics AX, I'm going to make a select projects. I'm going to make a new project. Bound to make a cursor this now. Fill in some of the standard fields that are required for Dynamics AX. I mentioned the validation. Dynamics AX, because it supports so many of the different business units or companies within Kongsberg Maritime, it doesn't have the same business rules applied to every project. So that's one of the reasons we have to validate the data coming in very carefully, because the data may not have all of the required data that we need. That may sound, why do you allow that? Well, if we're doing a departmental project for manufacturing, it doesn't have the same requirements. And Dynamics AX isn't able to apply those business requirements for Project Server in this interface. So now I'm going to create the project. I'm going to assign myself as the project manager. That's my ID. So Dynamics AX works on the ID of the project and the ID of the employee, not the name like Project Server does. That's me. And then I'm going to press OK. Okay, I forgot to specify the project group. And I will then, as soon as AX comes back to me, be able to click on the overview and we can see the data. This is AX actually creating the project in AX. Now, at the moment, this is an AX project. It is not a project that we've decided to plan in Microsoft Project. To do that, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to move the project stage to in process. Okay. And then I'm going to send, use one of the AX functions, Dynamics AX functions, to send the project to Project Server.
Hey Dave, first question.
Yeah?
You may have talked about this at the beginning, that the funneling process for the projects themselves, is that again in Project Server?
No, no. So, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, I was wondering, where the check-in of the AX, is it over in
The question was about the portfolio selection and the actual execution of projects and the creation. Yeah, well, the project creation process in this case does actually start in Dynamics AX, because all other projects which are not necessarily planned in Project Server are started there. There is a kind of a prognosis, as they call it, project, which is a sort of analysis project, which is also done, and that is done in Project Server. And at that particular point, that project plan would be perhaps created as a schedule with some estimates, and then that would be used to feed into another project, but that would be a manual process. But the actual creation is always done in Dynamics AX. That is where every project is born, whether it's a normal project or a synchronized project. We're now about to select the template. Now, do you remember that we made a template? I'm now really hoping that template's in this drop-down list. If it's not, I'll just select another one. There it is. Okay, so what did we do? We made a template, we saved the template. Project Server's extensions then said, oh, hang on a minute, it's a template. I need to get a list of all projects where the type is template, take that as a message, send the message to BizTalk, to Dynamics AX, with all of those templates that we have available. That happens when you delete a template, save a template, or create a new one. So that's now available. I'm now going to press the next button. And finish. This is probably the simplest project in history with just one task, but it's real. If you can spot some of the custom fields that are stored on the top here, the Dynamics AX project data, this will be translated into project custom fields. To see what's actually happening in the background, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to the log. I'll just reset the log at the moment. I'm going to do a reset on that. Let's have a look, see what's been happening. Now, I'm just going to go to change the zoom down to 100% again. Now, I appreciate this may be a little bit difficult to read on this particular screen, but I really do want to show you the information. If I just begin at the first line of data that's received there, we have received some project data. I'm now going to click on that from the log, and I can now see the XML that's been received from BizTalk. What BizTalk does is it takes the message from AX and then converts it into a message that Project Server's web services can understand. This is not the standard Project Server web services. This is our extensions to Project Server which prepare and validate the data. So we have received a Project Conference live demo, and we've got a project number, we've got a date, we've got a project manager. It's in process, if you can see the project stage there. But can you see the template? No. It sent a message over as soon as we created the project. And that can happen for every project that exists in AX. We filtered it in production because we don't need all of the projects. I've received this project even though it's not synchronized. So I know about this project and I've made a project. What happens next, if I go further up the list, is that I should have received another message. This is the one I'm going to focus on. If I look at this XML, I'm now going to test for you. Can anyone spot the difference? There's a template. The template is specified at the bottom here. And what happens is, project server will now make the project. The web services will specify what we're going to do. We're going to make a project. It's going to be called this. It's going to have this number. David's going to be the project manager. And gives that message to the PSI. For those of you who are developers, it uses the create project from template method. And for those of you who have used that in the past, it's now got a lot less issues than it had about 2 years ago, because we've had a few support cases to improve the quality of the method. I promise I will not fall over before the end. Right, I'll take a little reset on the log so I can see what's happened since, because that was at, in case you're wondering about the time, it is 8:30 back home. So we're doing this, okay. Oh, something already in use there. Okay, right. So we've actually had an error in the processing. We've created the project. We've updated the project. It checks it out. So there's all of the details here. And it should say that it's completed. So have a little look in Microsoft Project now. And hopefully, if I click on that one, I'm just going to close the template we made earlier. File. Retrieve list of projects from the server. I'm going to do sort by last modified. One more time again. Here is the live demo. That's the project that we made in Dynamics AX only a couple of minutes ago, already available for us in Project Server. If I open that, it will be based on the template that we made. It will have the same metadata information that we had, the project manager, the start date, and any of the settings that are in the template. Something that's very important in European countries is the number of working hours per day. A lot of the US projects work on an 8-hour day, but a lot of Norwegian projects work on a 7.5-hour working day. So the things of the options of how many hours per day, the calendars that are in use, have to be specified specifically so that you get the right setup of your project. And here's my project. I'm just going to change the view here to one of the views that we use for defining tasks. We've got the EPM task Gantt view. It does what it says on the name. Here is the task. It's 10 days long, exactly as we specified in the template. And I've got the information I need there. I'm just going to have to fill in one of the pieces of metadata here because it doesn't seem to be filled in. It's going to let me do that. Okay. All right, I have to come back to that, I think. That should have been filled in automatically in there. What I'm going to do next is I'm going to build a team and I'm going to assign someone to that. Now, as I mentioned, it's got a fairly large resource pool. For those of you that use Project Server with less than 500 resources, you'll never see that dialog box. Active resources. Okay, it begins with. I'm going to assign list to that one. Okay. Okay, and I don't know if this is going to work at the moment because I haven't got all of the project details filled in. What would happen now is that if I'd used incorrect values or values that were in conflict with the business rules, for example, you cannot create tasks with work without resources. You cannot assign resources to summary tasks. You can't assign resources to milestones. Some of those best practices that you'll hear at sessions at the project conference, we've implemented as part of the add-in. It will always allow you to save, but not publish. Okay, so the add-in is there to help you, and you may receive messages saying some things are not correct, and I think I'm going to get one of those messages now. Okay, right, I just need to fill in a couple of the values on the project. If you give me 2 seconds. Project ID for this project is That should have been filled in automatically, but it didn't seem to have done that today. If I go back to one of the other projects I have here, one I made earlier, you'll see that the project ID is automatically filled in on the left-hand side. This is a larger project with a larger number of tasks, but the principle is still the same. I make a project, I plan the project, and when I'm ready, I will publish that project. If I've got incorrect data, for example, I've got a duplicated WBS ID like this one, I'll get a message saying that you can't do that because every WBS ID, work breakdown structure ID, has to be unique. When I'm ready to publish, I will then publish the project using standard functionality. There's nothing different here about the use of Microsoft Project other than that we use an add-in to help enforce the business rules that quite often would be recommended by the Project Management Office, program PMO. We use that, do that through the add-in. So when I'm publishing the project, you'll see it says, publishing is 0% complete down there. That data is then sent from project to BizTalk. Those tasks will then be made available in the forecast, which are now what we're going to see. So if I just copy down the project number for this project, I'm going to go over back to Dynamics. I'm going to go back to the projects, and I'm going to do a filter on this column here. I'm going to let me do that. I'm going to take this one instead. Okay, that was the one I just published, wasn't it? 62. If I then look at the forecast and look at the hours for this project, I'll then see the tasks. If you like, I want to say the assignments for that project will now be in this particular table within Dynamics AX. So the two things we send over are the assignments. So if you two are assigned to a task with 50 hours each, there will be two lines in Dynamics AX showing 50 hours for you and for you. The other thing we send is a milestone. There are many other departments that are reliant on the project data. For example, if you're launching, if you've got a boat launch coming up, or your systems have to be ready for the commissioning of a boat, that date is a milestone, and the logistics department uses that. So you send over milestones as well, not just the tasks. When we reach the timesheeting phase, if you remember back to our post-it example that Paul registered some hours and then Hussein approved them, once those hours are approved, they are then posted from Dynamics AX, a kind of normal bookkeeping process that's done in the financial system. I don't have access to show that to you, but that information is then sent over. And when it is approved, so the 50 hours that you've received on your task, you've reported your timesheet for that week, the financial managers then approve that timesheet, we get the message. We get those hours. One second, I'll just go back to the onto the next page and then I'll take a question. There's a question. Yes. Okay, if I can just summarize the question is, we're sending over the planned values of work for an activity. So, for example, the 50 hours over 2 weeks, 25 hours per week, we send that over. That total then arrives in AX in the forecast. You then do your timesheet. Perhaps you do 30 hours because you're very efficient. Or perhaps you take 3 weeks instead of two. When that actual work comes back into the project plan, that information will update the tasks time-phased exactly as the real progress happened. Taking the other part of the question, which was how is the resource allocation or the resource management process done, the project plan is agreed first with the line manager or resource manager for those people to ensure that if you're allocated 50 hours on this project and 50 hours on that project this week, somebody needs to make a prioritization call to say which project has your time for this week and hopefully not 50 hours or 100 hours within the same week. So there is a resource management process, and that is done using the standard functionality of Project Server to look at resource capacity, resource assignments, resource availability, and reports that are done from that. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, just the timing of that. So you don't prevent the resource, the task assignments going to AX while you're waiting for the approval of the availability and the commitment of that resource. Some companies will formalize that process to ensure the resource manager has effectively signed off the availability of that individual.
Yeah, there's no formalization of the resource allocation process. However, there is one thing that the project manager will do, which is to determine whether the task is published or not. So when they're in the early phases of agreeing the resources or the allocation of resources, they'll set task published to no, and they will then publish the project, and only those which are set to yes will be sent further to Dynamics AX. I can share a little, I won't say secret, but a little workaround we found with the publishing. Is anyone here familiar with the publishing field? Yeah? Has anyone found it in the reporting database? Exactly. First of all, it's on the assignment, and it's only available if you open the file in project. What we've done there is we've made a custom field with a formula called equals publish. It's the only single task formula custom field we have, but it means that you can go to a report and see whether or not the task has been published. And we use that, and obviously it requires that the project has been published as well. I know that, but we still use that. What we're looking at here, if I can go back to the process of that post-it process we took earlier where we approve the hours, there's something different about this page, and it's not just the ghastly color scheme. I'm coming back to color schemes later. There's a button missing. In Project Server in Kongsberg Maritime, we can't handle rejection. We've hidden the reject button. The reason for that is all hours that have come from the financial system are approved. They are posted. They are real. It isn't a choice for the project manager to reject the hours. That's what happened. That's what's been approved. Our job is to echo or shadow the hours that have been approved in Dynamics AX, and therefore the project manager can only accept the destiny of the hours. They can choose when to accept them, because if I'm in the middle of planning my project at the moment, and as you mentioned about dates moving around, I don't want the dates to move around just right at the moment whilst I'm trying to sort out my phase two of my project. So when I'm ready, I will accept the updates into my project. I probably don't need to show you that, but if I accept the update, that will go into Microsoft Project exactly the same way as it does if you were to register your hours in PWA today. So what we do is we utilize the standard functionality of the task sheet to progress the hours per day, so the incoming XML that contains that you did, what did we have, 50 hours? Say if you did 5 hours each day. We'd receive some XML that contained the project, the resource ID, the task ID. We'd see that data day by day. The web services would then pick up that data, collate it together, and then apply it to a task update and create a status update for us, and we'd then accept that into the plan. There's one last thing I'd like to show you, which is the resources. Any questions on the updating process whilst I move on to resources? Okay.
Do you accept the errors, like the project manager makes an error, you're willing to undo that effectively?
Yeah.
So the transaction is supposed to.
Yeah. But normally the data quality or the rules around the actual hours that have been progressed is handled in the financial side in Dynamics AX. Right here now, I'm looking at the resource center. I have applied a filter. There's not all 10,000 resources available in this particular view. I have got one work center, a generic resource, and one employee. You can see that we've got lots of custom fields and lots of pieces of information. If I go over to the administration toolbox, over to here, I'm then going to request an update for these two resources. Now, these resources have got an ID of 502. Can you see that Kjetil's name in Project Server is his name, surname, and ID? So we use that as the way of uniquely identifying, exactly the same way as we do with the project, which is made up of company, project, and name. That keeps everything unique. So if I now do a request for an update for 502 and W35, and then synchronize these two resources. I can then see down the bottom, if you can read that, that a message for synchronization has been sent. I can do exactly the same thing for a project as well to get the latest project information for a project. Not changing the schedule, just the project owner, for example. If I then go back, sorry, was there a question? If I then go back to the log viewer, I can then see, if I look here at the resources, that I've received two pieces of resource data. Here is some information about Shetil, who works on the project, BizTalk expert. His information has been received. The web service will then try validate that data first, exactly the same way as it validates project data, and then it will apply the update to the resource if it needs doing. If I were to do a full resource pool synchronization of all 10,000 resources, can you imagine the load that would be put on there if I checked out each resource one by one by one by one? We wouldn't be finished until after the weekend. What happens is that the web service checks the existing resource and compares the data and says, do I need to update that resource or not? So you'll notice that one of these doesn't need an update, which means it skips it. So the I'll say the relative milliseconds it takes to check the data, compared to the check-in and check-out of a resource, means that we don't overload the platform unnecessarily. And as those resources are modified, I think if I take a refresh here, should come back in a moment. Here we go. Okay, we can see that we've got an update time of 20:45, 8:45 in the evening back in Norway. Okay. So that concludes the demo part of my presentation. So we've looked at creating some metadata with the templates. We've sent some projects. We've sent some tasks back again. We've received the actual work, and we've also updated some resources. Now, all of this happens automatically in the background in terms of metadata, resources, and the creation of projects. We don't have to do any of this manual requesting. As soon as the HR department creates a resource that's approved, the data is then sent automatically. In fact, it's actually harvested. BizTalk and the SSIS packages go through the HR database and say, oh, there's a new person, or there's a change, and then harvests that, goes fishing for data, pulls the data out, puts it into its own tables, and then because we are a subscriber to the resources, we get that resource change or that resource update. Now, as a summary, before I take any more questions, if there are any others at the end, I want to share some of the lessons learned. There's no real particular order to this, but we had a very good evaluation after the project was completed. What was it that really, really made a difference? What things, if we hadn't have done that, we wouldn't have a working solution, or we'd probably still be here coding it, making it, or testing it. Skype, a distributed user community, a distributed development team, daily Skype meetings. Yeah, there, of course, there was the obvious meetings where everyone was gathered together. But lots of our meetings were done online, sharing desktops, Skype premium account, so we could all see what was going on. Different suppliers, organizations. It wasn't just internal resources on the project. The use of Team Foundation Server, not just helping with the testing itself, but things like issue tracking, bug tracking. If I were to do an integration project again, I would be using online collaboration tools. I would be using TFS or TFS Online. The testing. We use Test Manager within TFS to create test cases. The users themselves, the end users, the real business people, created their own test cases. I listed two. Where they were actually there saying, step by step, this is what I'm going to do. And when they found a bug or a problem or something didn't work, we knew exactly what step they reached in that test cycle or that test script. The data quality and master data. If you want to start developing your own integration today or get going now, you can't really do that unless your master data is in order or in place. So before you try and get started, before you write that first line of code, you really need to make sure that the source data of your systems is in good order. The user stories and requirements, they're something that have evolved and we've learned from as we've gone through the project. Early on, the use cases were just the generic or vanilla or off basic process. It's those exceptions that really make the difference. The things when things don't go quite right, when we receive the wrong data, what do we do? Those are the things that really make a difference to the integration that you make. Picture of the project team walking down across one of the bridges in the building in Kongsberg. What's happened in terms of the business value? We've established a much more common process. Project Server itself is almost enforced part of that process. Everyone has to do things in the same way. There's still flexibility. You know, if you need a very simple project, but you want a very complex project, you can both plan at whatever level you want, as long as people are going to register their hours in the timesheet. You can, so there's a lot of flexibility for small projects, large projects, cross-departmental projects. And the visibility of that data means that people that would never have gone near a project management system or the old Microsoft project plan can now actually use and get value from that data. And above all, it's created trust. People don't just believe, well, they believe what they're reading, but because of the pride that goes into it, they're getting real data into the system and real results out. Looking to the future, what's going to happen next? Well, nobody knows exactly what's going to happen next, but I do know that the Kongsberg Maritime are upgrading to AX 2012. It's the latest version of Microsoft Dynamics. And that will involve some changes to EPM. They may be looking at streamlining some of the processes, reducing some of the requirements, things that aren't necessarily needed. But that can be done based on the experience of using the system for the last year in a live production environment. Are more departments going to be involved? Maybe. Will there be Project Server 2013? The Kongsberg Maritime Intranet may be upgrading to 2013 at some point. There's a decision there to whether or not we move Project Server with it or it stays on its own farm. But one of the most important areas to open up is now that we've got the data, start using it, start getting more out, start getting more things from it, getting more value out of that data. And that's where the business intelligence, the dashboards, not just in terms of the project and resource information for supporting the global resource management, but things like helping the IT department monitor the usage and the capacity of the system. All different areas, all the different users of the solution need to know more about what's going on. Any questions?
I didn't see any reference to metadata to the project stage in Dynamics AX and any associated governance workflows in EPD or the project methodology itself in EPM. Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I can take that question with a very fairly concrete answer. In Project Server, we use one single enterprise project type for the creation of that project. There is Dynamics AX that controls the overall flow of the process. So whether a project is created, in process, or completed, there's a field that we saw very briefly in Dynamics AX that controls that. When we receive a message to say that the project is completed, for example, we would then move the project to a completed category so that it becomes read-only because you're not permitted to save on that. So there is a control. There isn't perhaps the normal workflow or control of EPTs that you might see with a standard project server, but we use it because AX is in charge of that workflow process. That's done that way. Does that answer the question? Okay. Okay, do you have one final question there? Or? Yes. No, it's a VSTO office add-in that's been added and created and distributed to each PC as a. It's very much like an app that implements that best practice, but we've developed it ourselves. Yes. Yes. The lookup table for the question was about the resource breakdown structure. The resource breakdown structure has 17 different levels in it because of the very top level of the organization would be person in charge of KM down to individual departments and so on. So the resource breakdown structure follows each one of those levels. So a complex organization has that many levels. Each resource is then allocated to that same value. Okay, so that's how that kind of connects together. It is 17 levels deep, but it actually is only a 4-digit number. of those levels. The actual RBS structure itself can support many more levels than that. Obviously, it doesn't become practical to use, but here it's automated. Okay. Any final questions? Take one. I think in total of the amount of development, there was probably an 18-month window of development preceded by around 8 to 12 months of specifications and use cases and things like that. But different things happened at different times because of the dependency on master data and other systems. So not everything happened in a logical order. Some things started and stopped. And I've been through the project for the whole time, so I've been involved. So I've seen everything stop and start and restart and change and things like that. But if you actually do it, if you've got clear requirements, go from start to stop, so then that's what we'd be looking at more like. But that, again, is dependent on how complex or what business rules are in place. I think because of the time, I'm being indicated at the back. Can I take one last question, and then we wrap up? I'll take the question at the back. Yes. So. Okay, the question was BizTalk the owner of all the master data and the validator of the master data? Partially, yes. The master input system is really the system that's responsible for controlling that master data. But where we get the master data from is from BizTalk. Okay, but BizTalk does have a big input. It has its own business logic and rules. There was one fundamental business rule in the project itself, which is that every system is responsible for everything it sends and receives. So you validate what you receive and you validate what you send according to your known business rules. And BizTalk does the same as what Project Server does, for that matter. Okay. Thank you so much for your patience, your participation, your energy with the post-its and running around, and your patience for listening to me. Finally, Excel was not the first with slices. We got a cheese slicer. Can anyone remember how many transactions have been recorded in the EPM log? That's very, very close. 2.7 million transactions in between April and December 2013. Reasonable. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Great job.
Thank you very, very much for your attendance. I'll be here answering some questions afterwards if you have any more. Thank you.